Morning prayer, right two, continues in your booklet. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In lieu of the Gloria, we're going to say the Kyrie, which is in your bulletin. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have
mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Psalm 95 can be found in the insert of your bulletin. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us shout our joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving.
And raise a loud shout to him with songs.
For the Lord is a great God.
And a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the caverns of the earth.
And the heights of the hills are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee.
And kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
Oh, that today we would hearken to his voice.
Harden not your hearts as your forebears did in his wilderness. They put me to the test. 40 years long I detested that generation and said,
"This people are greater than their hearts. They do not know my ways."
So I swore in my wrath,
"They shall not enter into my
rest." A lesson from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin and the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and the water will come out of it so that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah. And because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you are able and join with me in saying Canticle 21, which is in your morning prayer booklet. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you.
You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not shun the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people. Offer with Christ of your own blood and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Please be seated.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our sequence hymn has changed. It is number 680 in the blue hymnal. Number 680.
Thank you.
the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming down here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you did not labor. Others had labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Continued standing, if you are able. We say together Canticle 16 in your booklet. "O Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, in the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death,
and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In a letter that I wrote to you on Friday, I started with scripture from the first letter of Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I continued with the statement, as you know, more and more organizations are trying to figure out how best to respond to COVID-19 in a responsible way. The Episcopal Church is no different. As Christians, we believe in the healing power of Christ, and we believe that we are called to love one another. At this time, it seems to be the most loving response is to help slow the progression of the virus so healthcare systems can respond, and so we can help our neighbors in need. This week, as I have tried to read news stories and keep informed, I am stunned over and over again by what it is we think we need, what it is that will keep us safe, what it is that brings us a sense of security, and most bewildering to me, what power we think we have over anything on this earth or in heaven above. We hear today from the Israelites in the wilderness of Sin. The whole people of Israel are crossing over the desert bit by bit, led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In other words, very visibly being led by the presence of God. And yet we hear again and again they're moaning and complaining that they don't have enough. Today we hear them quarreling with Moses, "Give us a drink of water." And Moses responds, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" I can hear us right now, "But I need more toilet paper. Where am I going to find two more cases of water? How are we going to live like this?" If we listen closely, we hear Moses crying out to God, and God responds. God has the answer. God cares for his people, and God will not let them die of thirst in the desert. God sends Moses ahead and provides sweet, cold water for all people. There is enough. Moses then calls the place Meribah, meaning, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The water of baptism is essential to our faith and in some ways the foundation of our faith practices. If you remember, we started this year with the baptism of Jesus. In renewing our baptismal covenant, we are reminded that in baptism we die to sin and live again in Christ. We are reminded of the promises we make to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. We affirm that we will persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. We vow to proclaim by word and example the good news of Christ. We say that we will seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And in our baptism, we will strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Our response to each of these questions is, I will, with God's help. Today in the Gospel of John, we are powerfully reminded about the water of life, that which sustains us in all the ups and downs of this life, that which will bring us to new life and eternal life. Jesus came to the Samaritan city near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. We hear that Jacob's well was there. And the amazing thing is that Jacob's well still remains today in Nablus under the protection of a Greek Orthodox church. The water is fresh and cold and available to everyone who asks. Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. And a Samaritan woman came for some water, and Jesus asks for a drink. We are all startled by the request. First, women didn't go to the well at noon unless they were an outcast. And second, Jesus would not have talked to a woman. But Jesus takes a risk and exposes his need to this woman. She immediately responds with a question, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" With Jesus sharing his need and his vulnerability and his willingness to accept her, an important conversation begins to happen. It's possible that when we show our need, when we see the needs of our neighbors, we too can begin a conversation. We too can understand the needs and concerns of another. We too can share the story of our faith. Maybe we know this story too well, or maybe we don't find Jesus' conversation surprising at all. But Jesus knows this woman. He sees this woman. And surprisingly, for that time and that culture, invites her with this knowledge into a deeper sense of trust and faith. Jesus finds the one person in this village who will open up to him, trust him, engage with him, and believe in him. I once had a friend, Joe, who knew more about me than any other real person I've ever known. He knew my gifts and my shortcomings. I trusted him with my deepest secrets, and he trusted me with his. It was in this bearing of our souls that we could rejoice in the faith that we had each been given. Jesus explains to the woman, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will be in them a spring of gushing water up to eternal life." The woman responds, "Sir, give me this water." Clearly, she didn't know at that point what she was asking, and yet she continued to listen and learn. She had the courage to tell Jesus about her husband's. She had the nerve to go to the other people in the village and proclaim what Jesus knew and did for her. She had the depth of faith and conviction then to follow them back to the well, to the source, to the living water. In this time of uncertainty and change, the greatest gift we have for one another is love and action. We can take the recommendations and follow them for the sake of each other. We can reach out in concrete ways to continue to be living, breathing brothers and sisters with this amazing, loving, caring community. We can uphold each other in prayer. We can listen to the concerns and fears of each other and assure them of God's loving presence, walking each step of this journey with us. I will continue to ask you in this season of Lent how you are doing with prayer, fasting, almsgiving, self-examination, and the reading of Scripture. For that is what leads us to care for one another. Today we hear the story of the Samaritan woman who was an outcast by Jewish standards, an outcast in her own village. With Jesus, she finds redemption. comfort, acceptance, and salvation. How do you continue to demonstrate that God is in our midst? Amen. Stand as you are able and join me in saying the Apostles' Creed, which is found in your booklet. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit
and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you. Please be seated.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven.
Prayers of the People can be found in Form 6, also on your bulletin. Almighty God, Father of all mercies. Oops, I had the wrong bulletin. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, friends, and needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who bring the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop, Prince, our bishop, for Lynn and Gary, our priests, and for all bishops and other ministers, including Lynn and Gary. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation.
For Doug, for Eva, Tammy S., Jerry, Phil, Wendell, James, our brothers and sisters in the military, volunteer ambulance, and firefighters.
For Gina, Muriel, Charlie, Raymond, Jamie, Ray, Heather,
hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Please be seated for a moment. Just a couple of announcements. Today there is no coffee hour. We're not going to be sharing any food in this building for a little while. What the bishop has asked is that we suspend services in person through until Easter, and then at Easter we will hopefully join together, but you know, we have to wait and see. I'm asking the vestry if they're willing to stay here. We're going to have a short meeting after the service. This service, Lord willing, will be put online. I invite you to take the booklet home with you. You were given a packet with the next few weeks of readings, and I will be emailing you a bulletin and the sermon each week. You can listen to it online, or you can read it, If you're not online, I will be emailing or mailing you in person. If you are on email but would rather have it on paper, let me know and I'll mail it to you. Right now, Rochester Regional Health and Steuben County are saying no visitors in any healthcare system. Please do call me if you get sick with a virus or any other illness. If I can, I will visit you. If you are in a healthcare facility, I will not be able to visit you, but I will call and pray with you. That's the reality of the situation right now. Keep each other in prayer, and I will be praying for each of you by name every day. Call each other if you need something. I know that Hammondsport Grocery and the pharmacy are happy to deliver, and the vestry in the past has said we'll pay for delivery, but they said no, it's our pleasure to do it. But let us know if you have a need. And other than that, please stand up. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please join me in singing our closing hymn.